This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about discipleship. Since we're in the middle of talking about diversity, if you missed coming in the morning at 10, you missed a great class today. So I want to encourage you to come at 10 and hear the diversity classes we're doing. Amen. But I also want to talk about how that affects our discipleship. When you think about it, God allowed someone to talk to you about God and allow the Word of God to be sown in your heart so that you changed and made a difference to become a disciple. That change continues, and you have to grow all the time no matter what happens. You don't stop growing as a Christian. So we come to this space when we're talking about diversity, and we have to understand there is a lot of change that we have to make as individuals in our hearts. Because some of the stuff that we talk about can get you quite twisted around. But yet, Jesus is still Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, it means that you have to understand discipleship from a position of letting the Bible convict you, change you, and transform you to be more like Jesus Christ. That is not something we can assume is happening just because we became disciples. That is an intentional step we must take to begin to practice our discipleship in our faith, in our home, in one another relationships. That starts by hungering for God's love. When I say hunger, if you think about your salvation, many people start from a position of, man, I want to know God, and they hear the Word of God, and they change, they're transformed. They're happy to know God, but at some point in your life, you can lose that thirst and hunger for God. You just become a disciple that sits around, that comes to church, gets the message, and goes home, and that was a good message, not such a good message. And that becomes, you become much more of a pundit than a person that is being moved by the Word of God. And here's what it says here. It says that, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? It starts off by saying all the things they go through and says, are these the things that are going to make us stop us falling in love with God? Well, God has not stopped loving us if we're in trouble. Because one of the reasons why we lose our hunger for love is trouble. Trouble can just build in your life to the point where you don't want to give your heart anymore. You hold back, you're not passionate about anything about God because of trouble. Calamity can be another thing. Just intense of it. Calamity can take care of that. Persecution. I mean, you talk about reaching out to people in a divided country, and you want to reach out to people that don't look like you. You can be afraid of persecution. What will they tell me? What will they say when I reach out to them? They don't look like me. Why should I tell them anything about God? They may turn on me when I talk to them about God. You're afraid of persecution, or hungry, or destitute. You know, I think 1 in 5 people in America have trouble putting food on the table. So do the math and look around. That's happening among us. And that can be hard for you to worship God. Or destitute. Homelessness is growing. Or in danger or threatened with death. That these things have a way of taking your faith away from God, that you lose that hunger of desiring to be connected with God. And yet these very things can also make you go to God more. Don't stop on the difficult path. Take one step at a time. This morning I want to encourage you to not give up because of the challenges we faced, but rather to begin to take that one step at a time to hunger for God's love again. That we will start one step at a time, whatever that means to you, that you will start and say, I want to be hungry for God again. Not just satisfied, not relaxed, Not just thinking, this is okay for me. No, I'll be hungry again for God. I'll be hungry for relationships. I'll be hungry for knowing Him. That is what I'm looking for. If you know that, you'll take that step. We get overwhelmed when we try to do it all in one step. You've got to start somewhere to be hungry for God again. You know, there's telltale signs when you're losing hunger for God. You no longer let the Bible convict you, or you're not inspired by the Word of God. The telltale signs when you no longer want relationships anymore with people because you prefer to be isolated. You're losing that hunger. I don't have much time to do, so let me keep rolling here a little bit. This is a principle that applies to the Israelites and applies to us. For when you have been full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. The Egyptians had a rough time in Egypt. Sorry, the Israelites had a rough time in Egypt. God took them out of there. We know the story. Got them out of the wilderness. They struggled for a while, but the story would be that as they would prosper, they would forget God. So we are the Christians that came out of Egypt. And at the time we came out of Egypt, we were very excited to come out. But as we've become old in our faith, we can just, as we prosper, we can lose it. I mean, many of us had much more commitment to God when we had less money, older cars, less homes, maybe no children. But we gave a lot, right? Now, what happened after all these things came? We could say, well, you know, it's hard to be a disciple with children. Children are a blessing. Amen? And you need to learn to walk with the blessings that God has given you and rise to the occasion, and then God will show you what to do with that blessing. Amen? There is no blessing without a challenge. If you have $1 billion today, there will be a challenge on your spirituality. You need to be clear about what you're going to do with that money. Anything you get, God is going to give you a blessing, but there's a challenge as well. That was happening. You can lose the hunger for God's love because of your blessings. That you get so enamored with what you have done in life that you're not connecting with God at all. So again, this morning, have you lost your hunger for God just because of settling in the worldliness of life? You've arrived at your job, you've arrived at what you aim for, and you don't want to give any more for yourself. You see, you have to understand this, that everything you have achieved, you will live it here. And after that, you're going to deal with God. Get right with God. Get hungry for God's love. Achieve everything, but be hungry for God. Church, I think we've lost some level of age when it comes to loving God. We just settle. We relax. We're caught up in just coming in and coming out. What about that love that shows that, you know what, I love God. I can overcome anything that comes my way. You see, a comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. Man, let's talk about that. How comfortable are you on earth? How comfortable are you? Have you given up on the love of God? Do you give of yourself to your family, to your children? It's Father's Day. Amen. You're having a good time. I know, fathers. But I hope tomorrow doesn't look like another just, okay, forget that. We're back to our usual self. Hope they continue having a Father's Day and Mother's Day and all these things that come around. We can be so eventism kind of culture where we only do the event, then we go back to ourselves. Do the event. Go back to ourselves. It's eventism. We've got to come out of comfort and start to grow. Comfort by choice. You can decide, I'll be different. Either way, anyhow, I'll love God deeply. See, church, we've got to understand this. Comfort sneaks on you quietly. It sneaks on you. It's like when I don't go for exercises, I get comfortable not doing exercises. And the first time I try to go out there, I said, man, it's so cold. Or now it's so hot, I can't go out. Well, you can go out at 6, it's still good. Get out and do something. In the same way, we start giving excuses of why we cannot be evangelistic, touching each other's lives, loving the lost, loving our children, loving our wives, loving one another. All that can go out of the way. Why? Because we're comfortable. There's a challenge for us to grow. And you can't do it in comfort. You got to get going. Live by God's word. It should be an assumption that I live by God's words. Really? If you think about it, that sometimes you switch on your emotion too much. That your emotion is way more stronger than you think. That you're driven more than how you feel than what God really says. You're driven more by, this is how I feel. Well, what about what God teaches you about those feelings? Give your complete attention to these matters. This is Paul telling Timothy. Because he begins by saying how people want to hear what they want to hear. But now he says, give yourself to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. If you come out of comfort and come to this place of living by the word of God, then you begin to ask yourself this question, how much am I practicing the Bible? Here's the assumption that Christians make. Because I go to church and because I repented and I was baptized, I must be doing well as a Christian. Oh no, our faith is a day-to-day basis. Matthew 6 talks about every day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. That means every day you have to be making that decision to be righteous and to be seeking the kingdom of God. It's not something you know at the back of your head and you set it. No, you have to engage on that on a daily basis. And so he says here, then pay close attention to your life. How was your life this week? How was your life this week? Did you pay close attention to it? How did you treat people? Did you love them, touch them? How was your mind? How was your heart this week? Did you pay close attention to what's going on in your heart? Because it's there that change begins to happen. You know, I've made some changes in my life. My phone doesn't have YouTube anymore. Because I think that sometimes when you're researching, you just keep researching and never finish watching a clip. You know, I go on internet to do my mails. I'm done. I'm out. I may read a few stories here and there, but I need to do my research and get out. But let's talk about this for a while. For some of us, we're not intentional. So you get there, and all you do is just scroll and scroll and scroll. And before you know it, it's 10 o'clock. You start scrolling at 7. What were you doing? Just reading staff. Just staff. Hollywood staff. Politics staff. Fashion staff. Vogue staff. And then you wonder, why is life not making any sense? It's because you're not intentional. Then you just lose it. You're not living by the word. You're getting consumed by the culture of the day. The culture of the day, the music of the day, the speaking of the day. And before you know it, you're thinking in those terms that you're watching. Why? Because you're not paying close attention. How is your progress spiritually? This is mid-year. This is not a guilt story, but this is, you need to pay attention to what you're doing. Is there progress to your life? What have you changed? What is becoming different? You see, church, we have to live by the Bible, the biblical foundation that transforms us to be people who have personal growth. There, then, we become people that live with a mission. a mission to serve others, a mission to touch the lost, a mission to love other people. Christianity is not about self, it's about giving of ourselves. But you cannot do that by coming to church on Sunday only and some Wednesdays and missing other Wednesdays. You got to connect to what's going on here. But you need the Word of God to do that. If you don't know how to do that, ask whoever invited you to get you into the Word of God. Embrace maturity. Hebrews 5:13-14. It says, "For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill of recognizing the difference between right and wrong." He gets a little bit discouraged and talks to them, "Hey, you need to be knowing this stuff by now." Then he says, "You know what? For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know to do what is right." Church, the only reason that happens is because you're not using the Bible on a daily basis. This morning you prayed. You had some concerns. Did you quote any scripture that God tells you about that issue? Okay, fine. You don't know it offhand. Did you go look it up in the scriptures? You see, we can create a religion within religion, which is we pray, but we don't really pray. We read, but we don't really read. In other words, we're just moving people that don't really connect what's going on. The difference, how do you know the difference? Because you practice. Now you begin to know the difference. Solid food is for those who are mature. Through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between the right and wrong. That because you've used the Bible so often and you walk with the Bible, you now know what's not right. You know that I should not lie because I've been in the Bible. You know what it says about that. I should not be a coward. I know what the Bible says about that. I should not do... You understand. You've practiced that many times to come to a place of, I need to change. Here's what happens. If we're not practicing the Bible and watching our progress carefully, is that we gradually fall backwards and we start to look more like the environment around us. So even though we go to church, we use that as a pacifier of our guilt, but we begin to look more like the environment around us. And then the people in the world say, "Well, they go to church, but they look like us." Why is that? Because we've lost the saltiness that comes from being in the Word of God and practicing it. Solid food comes from getting in the Word. It doesn't come by you waiting just to hear me speak. You've got to do some work for yourself at home to get your solid food. This food here, I cook general food, one meal. But if you go home, you can cook what you really want to cook, right? This food, you can't choose. I serve what I serve. Hot dogs is what you're getting. Oh, real meat, you're going to get that. But when you go home, you can cook what you want to eat. If you don't do that work, you will not mature. You will not mature. We've got to do better in that area. We cannot change just by this Word of God on Sunday. We've got to change by our personal walk at home. Maturity comes when you stop making excuses and stop making changes. You know what, church? I think this time, sometimes we have stories from here to Timbuktu. This is why, this is why, this is why. First of all, I respect all of you that worship God. I see you on midweeks. It's a tough thing to do with the jobs we do, with the struggles we have. But because of God, you love Him and you can do that. Now, having said all that, you got to be careful that you don't start giving yourself excuses to why you don't engage. Whether it's family group, whether it's in discipling time, whether it's one another time, whether it's why you don't engage with helping anyone to know God, whether it's helping the poor, whether it's serving the kids' kingdom, whether it's just helping with this, whoever brought the flowers, amen. We've been announcing for a while, thank you. And whoever, whatever it is that you can get involved in, because you can become a pew Christian. You come and sit and go. You're not involved. This is not involvement. You hear the Word of God. Okay, part involvement, maybe 60, 20, 40%. But get more involved, you can do more. you can do more. Giving of yourself overcomes the world. Let's finish here. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. That's convicting. That's for me. That's for you. That's for us. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in His word. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. If someone claims, we do claim that, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar. We claim to love God. As a church, we claim to live by the word of God. That's our creed. We're driven by the word of God. We do what the Bible says. We don't try to bring on traditions. So we love one another. We want to build a diverse congregation. We love, welcome if you're visiting, we love black people, white people, all people. All colors. But if that's the case, how are you practicing that? Where's your practice in that? How is that going for you? It's easy to read this and think it's about non-Christians. It's about us. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Christianity is not difficult. It's about obeying God. How difficult is that? It's difficult when you start debating, but it's very easy when you say, I'm going to do what God says I should do. It's easy when you become humanistic. I mean, it's difficult when you become humanistic. It's easy when you say, you know what? Jesus is Lord. I'm going to do what He says I should do. I have found that I have trouble when I begin debating in my head about things. But when I say, you know, God says I need to do it, I'm going to do it. That's what I do. It's very easy. I'm less conflicted. The outside and the inside agree, and I'm happy. When I'm denying what I'm supposed to do inside and outside is not agreeing, I'm very conflicted. I'm very unhappy as a person. So I walk around saying amen, amen, but in my heart of hearts, I feel weighed down. Why? Because I'm not practicing the Bible. Love Him. That's how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live like their lives like Jesus did. So how did Jesus live? I know He went to the wedding, did a miracle there. That was the first miracle He did, right? He walked around, saw the sick. He reached out to the lost. He was everywhere meeting needs. Some rain has come, don't worry. So He did a lot of things. It was a lifestyle. It was not an obligation. It was a lifestyle. So, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to sit and be served, but to serve others. Where is your serving barometer? Do you try to avoid any service? Not just here at church. What about at home? What about at work? Do you serve at all? Because you can't say, I serve at church. Then at work you do nothing. They wonder, this guy calls himself a Christian, doesn't serve anyone. And we stop people from coming to Christ because they look at that lifestyle and say, well, I don't want to deal with this kind of a guy. Do you serve at home? He gave His life as a ransom. Nobody's asking for you to give your life, but to give yourself to love God with all your heart. If we understand that, we'll do well. Discipleship is a lifestyle filled with relationships, a life of pouring yourself out for others. Let me end here. We are working hard on changing different things. One, we've wanted to have great family groups. You cannot do that by living your personal separate life. You have to pour yourself in other people's lives. Amen? We have greatly talked about having one another relationships. It's so vital that we complete that move. You cannot survive isolated on your own and make a good walk with God. You need people in your life. We've even given ourselves Save People, a book that will really give us tools, skills on how to have safe relationships. Some of us need to really learn that quality, that skill of being safe. Some of us need to be more courageous. We need to get in that Save People book and talk about it. I know that some of you have not done much. Let's get busy and connect and make it happen. We have until the end of the year, but fight to be there. Amen? You see, it's not about just, it's not about yourself. It's about pouring yourself in other people's lives. And I want to challenge us. When is the last time you talk to anyone about God? Let me end on this note, church. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. We have a generation of men missing within us. Men between ages 24 to around about 35. They're very few, and some 35 and over. There are very few of those. Not because they're not available, I think we got to pray and reach out to them. Men, the artists, you were with me on that. Everybody else kept quiet. I don't know what's going on. I will take that. We've got to stay on that issue. I believe with all my heart that we've got to get more on this issue. Pray about it and get involved. Amen? Start today. Not tomorrow, start today. You're going to go out, you're going to meet someone as you eat food and talk to other people. Start today, and God will make a difference in this generation. God bless you.